We're going to start out this morning with a prayer just from my favorite prayer book in the whole world. I've been using this for many, many years and it never gets old. Let's just bow. Lord, I'm so grateful that the Christian life is not a rigorous self-improvement course or a do-it-yourself kit. That it is not a call to prove myself or improve myself by overcoming my own shortcomings and failures. In my own way, overcoming my shortcomings and failures in my own way by my own resources. Thank you that instead, you're at work in me and in my situation to break old patterns of thought and action and to create within me the desire and the power to do your gracious will and to make me a joy to you in new ways. I praise you that Jesus Christ is able to untangle all the snarls in my soul, to banish all my complexes, and to transform even my fixed habit patterns, no matter how deeply they're etched into my subconscious. Thank you for the many ways you use other people to counsel me and help me grow, and yet that Christ Himself is the answer to my hang-ups, the one source who can meet my deepest needs. How I rejoice that He is wonderful in counsel and mighty in power, and that He heals from the inside out. Thank you, too, for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength. I praise you that He is in me to enlighten me through your word, to flush away my anxieties and my fears, my resentments and my hostilities, my guilt, my regrets, as water flushes away dirt and trash, to keep me filled with Himself and to flood my heart with your love, to produce through me the fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, and to enable me to give thanks for all things as the hours and days and weeks pass. I rejoice that you are able to do far more than all I ask or think, according to your power that is at work within me, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. I realized partway through that I didn't have my glasses on. I was struggling. Sorry about that. Well, I was, my arms were not quite long enough. That 40 thing was a guy. Okay, first of all, we're going to review just a little bit for those of you who were not here. This is just going to be a quick one. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. And this whole day, let's just kind of think about that. Be still. Because sometimes, you know, we've all come, some of us had a crazy day getting here yesterday. And maybe you even didn't come from that far, but you worked yesterday or whatever. And so it's hard sometimes to just to still our bodies. So consciously, let's still our bodies and our minds. A lot of letting go is being still. A lot of times I find when I'm at that frantic pace, there's something I'm avoiding, you know. So sometimes I have to consciously tell myself, slow down, be still. We're going to be talking a lot about letting go of that baggage in our lives that weighs us down. You know, that's what we talked about yesterday. How can we feel sometimes a million pounds lighter? Those things that make us feel heavy and burdened and chaotic. If we can sometimes become aware of what those things are in our lives, those weights that weigh us down or that we don't want to let go of or can't let go of or won't let go of, then and only then can we release them. And a book that has been very, very helpful to me, I can highly recommend, is Linda Dowdy's How Can I Let Go When I Don't Know I'm Holding On? I'm going to read a little excerpt from her book. It says, sometimes we need to let go of a person in order to move on. Sometimes we cling to a role that no longer has validity in our lives. Sometimes a point of view blocks our growth. Sometimes the volume of our own mental and physical clutter threatens to engulf us. Sometimes an idea about God must be released so that a fuller faith connection can take place. Sometimes an unrealistic expectation sabotages our joy. Sometimes hurts and resentments keep us from experiencing the forgiveness of God. Sometimes the difference between inappropriate worry and responsible concern eludes us. Sometimes our limited dreams keep us from joining God's grander dreams for us. And sometimes we have to let go of who we think we are to discover who we really are. That one hits me. And often we have to let go of our fear of failure and disapproval to answer the insistent call of our souls. So I think she summed that up quite well. Mm-hmm. And letting go, as we've already talked about, is really a lifelong process. I appreciate Pat and Sherry, I think you both talked about that it's a lifelong process, and it is. And I think we get better over time, too. I think those of us who are further along down the journey, I hear people who are further way further than me talk about it does get easier, and it does become more clear. So that's encouraging to me. The path can be challenging, and it can be painful at times. But the payoff, and this is kind of where we want to go with this. You know, last night I thought, I hope we didn't end with, you know, this doom and gloom. But the whole crux of what we're trying to get to today, so I'm doing a little summary that, you know, by the end of the day, this is our hope for you. The payoff is unlimited joy. And those of you who have already experienced some of this in your life, you can testify to that. An incredible freedom. You know, I talked about that last night, the freedom that came with letting go of those things that were so burdensome to me, and a peace that is indescribable. And then love, you know, we can't love until we love ourselves and until we feel a freedom to love ourselves and love others. And the problems don't vanish, but the thing that's important is sometimes it's our perspective on all this that changes. Doesn't eliminate the problems. Our problems are real clear to this time this year. They're very similar to where they were last year at this time, but our perspective has changed a whole lot. We've grown a whole lot. We can feel lighter and happier and more joyful and less burdened. And we want you to start thinking and praying about throughout this day. Ask God just to kind of start revealing some things that may make you lighter and more loving, more peaceful, and happy. So that's kind of where we're, that's our recap from last night that we didn't get to do because we went over. It wasn't their fault. It was our fault in the timing. So that's our little recap. And
all right. She's pointing to me. Yeah. Again, somebody asked me about the hospital chaplaincy last night at dinner. I said, how does that work? And I said, well, you know, you're assigned to a particular area. I think I told you guys I was assigned to maternity in the NICU. But when there's a call, a code, you go anywhere in the hospital. You go running. And then also so many times a month, I'm on call for the whole system. And Methodist Levana is a 5-hospital system, which means I spend a 24-hour period at our university hospital, which is our big urban hospital, and in that 24-hour period, I can go to all the hospitals multiple times. It's a 7A to a 7A on-call period. And more than once, I've at the end of such an on-call, I've told Heather, I said, honey, I saw the world in 24 hours. Every possible kind of thing that you could imagine in the human experience, I would see in 24 hours. Sometimes I didn't even have a place. I didn't even know what to do with all that. But part of our system is Le Bonheur Children's Hospital. That's French for those of you that are French majors or had it, the good hour. However, anytime you get a page and you recognize that number as Le Bonheur, that's not going to be a good hour. Anytime you get a page from the Children's Hospital, that's not a good thing. All of them, I hate that. And I got a page this last on call for Le Bonheur. You get a little bit of information. A baby that was almost 2 was in the NICU, not the NICU, but in the ICU, and they were getting ready to take him off the vent. They wanted a chaplain there. I walk in, people I've never met. And suddenly I'm in the most intense part of their life. And of course, in a children's hospital, everything's, you know, miniature, you know, flowers on the wall and all this kind of happy kind of trying to do, and little, and the little chairs like I used to sit in when I was a children's librarian, you know, those little chairs for the little people. I sat in one too, hoped it wouldn't break, and read stories. And suddenly I found myself in this ICU, and I'm sitting in one of those chairs, and it struck me, I'm sitting in a chair like I used to read children's stories. But I'm in this NICU, this ICU room, where the baby's mama is holding the baby. The three of us, our knees are meeting. Her mother is there stroking the baby's legs. And I notice the baby's feet are dangling, and I lift his little feet and put them in my lap. And the three of us sit there and hold him as he moves from this life into the next. And why that happened is because someone that should have loved and protected him didn't, and hurt him. My image of God has changed dramatically in these experiences. I walked out of that hospital into the parking lot asking the same questions that people ask me. You know, when they're in the hospital, they ask questions we call out of the book of science. You know, what will this do if we do this? What will we do with this? But when I walk on the scene, they're asking out of the book of God, why did this happen? And one of the nurses there, she's seen, unfortunately, far too many of these types of situations. She was a nurse in that area for 20 years. And she says, I never will be okay with this. How does this happen, Pastor? I need an answer from you. Explain your God to me in this. And I go out in the parking lot, and I can't explain my God to me in that. And lots of times my answer is, I don't know. And I ask God, where are you? Where are you? And some of our letting go, certainly from my experience, we talked last night about my arrogance, my certainty. I certainly could have explained, or at least I bet I thought I could, everything to that mom and that nurse a couple of years ago. But the truth is, thank God, I was not confronted with anything like that then. Because I would have quoted scripture at them, some platitudes, some cliches. Crap. And I've done more harm than good. So all I could do is sit there with them and hold their baby together. Last night, some of you did a joyous event, an activity. You did a craft. And everybody that wasn't here last night goes, praise God for them all letting the plug. Don't think you've escaped so easily. Some of you are so bold as to actually put your artwork up, as we suggested and encourage you to do. And what that assignment for those that weren't there is to try to illustrate your image of God. As I said, my image of God continues to unfold. But it has a lot to do, like I said again, with chaplaincy, is God is present. The word I use most often in Emmanuel is Emmanuel, God with us. I can't explain, I can't give you answers why that baby died, but God is with us. God was with us. God was with us in those little chairs. So some of you have your image of God with you. Or not God with you, but hopefully God with you, maybe not. That's true too. I've experienced that as well and probably will again. But your image of God today, would anybody be willing to talk a little bit about what they did up there? Any volunteers willing to share what it looks like or point it out?
I'll be great.
You, Laura, you want to go?
Oh, well, I must do the banner thing?
Yeah. Well, if you want to make sure we're looking at the right one. And Laura, I know how shy you are. Let it go for you to get up there and do that. Oh, she needs money.
I thought it was very exciting to me. What I was going for was, so this is God here with the green nose, and he's watching. And this is kind of my journey. It's a road. And as we all know, what we're doing, it's a journey, it's a road. We go along, we hit a yield sign, we hit a pothole, and hey, there's no traffic. We zoom for a while. And so that's been my journey. So, and there's a dog there, because I'm like, oh. And there's a monorail there, because Seattle kids and light rails. But mostly it's God watching me on my journey, and encouraging me, and being a presence with me as I move forward, or even when I stop, when it's stuck in traffic.
Let me ask you, have you always had that image of God? Has that been pretty consistent in your life, or is that different?
I think I've always, you know, I grew up Catholic, so I initially had the image of God watching, ready to smite me. Now, many, many years later, I have the image of God being part of that journey. But I understand that it's full of twists and turns.
So it's evolved.
Absolutely.
It's evolved. Okay.
And I think that's part of the road, is that it continues to evolve. You see, it's not finished.
So right.
There's a lot more to go. I hope. I hope it's not a dead end.
Anybody else want to speak to what they did with their image of God? Colleen? You want to go show, or you want me to?
I'm not quite as demonstrative here as Stana.
And you're so shy.
I am. All the shy people.
We're coming up. I really am. Yeah. No, I'm not. But I like turtles, you see, so I got my turtles. I'm a soft shell turtle inside. I couldn't find any turtles in all the animals. I was so devastated. But anyway, this one here is mine. I got a little eye up here. That's God. He could have had two eyes, but I only like the big one there. And so he's watching and saying, excellent. That circle, so he's watching me, and I'm doing pretty good at this point in my life. Then I got me a horse, because I'm running the race. Sometimes I feel like I'm on that horse, and I don't know how I got on the horse, because I don't like horses. And, you know, the horse has a mind of its own, and I'm just kind of like, I'm not sure where I'm going or how I got there, but I'm still running this race. And then I got another little sticker that says, keep going. Don't give up, and God is my encourager. Mm-hmm. And I have that sense at this point in my life that even though I'm not in control always, and I'm just amazed at how I get myself in places that I had no idea were going to become a race there, and all of a sudden I'm there, and I'm saying, I didn't know this would come out like that. But I just hear God encouraging me to, you know, just keep on going. So that's how I see God at this point.
Mm-hmm. One more comment over here.
I hear my name being called, because I'm being called. And this is me hearing and listening. And on this journey, I've come to three crosses, which look like signs right now, but there are three crosses. And one of these crosses says, I love Christ. The other cross says, Christ loves me. And the third cross says, I am a lesbian. And all this has to do with each other.
Right.
And I'm on this journey. I couldn't put a road in it because I didn't have any room. It is grass grown. So, there we are.
And I know there's many more
that I see emerging that are going to work really connected well with what we're talking about is the first one we saw, I call that a meandering. And I think that our spiritual journey, or spirituality in general, for me is a meandering, not a linear type of step sort of type of thing. As well as the race being run, the call, and the calling over here. And I certainly relate particularly personally to what you were saying. It was the first EC conference where I came and, you know, was very much in flux and very much in crisis, more so probably than I even was aware of. And it was at the last service, worship service, where I heard God say, "You are a lesbian, and you are my beloved daughter." Mm-hmm. In all my years in the ex-gay movement, I never heard that. Mm-hmm. Not just the first part, I never heard the second part. Mm-hmm. But I was beloved just for who I was. And so that's very significant. And so our image of God is part of many times something that we have to let go of, especially if it's very much for those of us like myself that went through that conservative fundamentalist, I got it down, who God is and how it works. And I run into that every day in the hospital. But the thing about it, when you're in these crisis situations and the rubber meets the road, sometimes where you see the people that struggle the most are those that have this rock solid, set in stone, concrete image of God. And suddenly life doesn't match you. God didn't do what God was supposed to do. And so that is sometimes a very significant part of our letting go. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about letting go. We're not done with it yet. And we're going to press you a little bit more and ask you to do another activity. Oh, no! And but yes, Elizabeth, there's Robin. There's Robin. You know, give me the sparkles and stuff. Yes. You know. All right. I want you to think about, it's back over here, work, just like the last time. I want you to think about something in your life that's going on right now. I talked to Barrett a pretty doggone dramatic thing in the hospital with the baby, but something right now that you just can't explain, especially something that maybe you're having difficulty leaving alone. I don't know if you guys are like me, but there's something over here, and I say, okay, I just need to step away from it a little bit, and I got to go back and mess with it some more. Whatever that is, go over there and symbolically, with what we've given you, try to illustrate what that looks like or what that feels like, that thing in your life right now that maybe you need to let go of, that maybe you can't explain. Go to it.